So I would just add that if we have a condition that this approval is for a seasonal operation 6 months out of the year, that gives you and the landowner some latitude, but also, you know, to define it, but also the neighbors who say, oh gosh, they've been operating 12 months this year. Yeah. And the intention was that, you know, we get a reprieve, so it's up to 6 months out of the year. So maybe before they have their zoning permit, we could ask for clarification to tell us what months those are. And then the neighbors have that clear expectation as well. It does put more work on Caitlin because it's kind of subjective, but
it's job security.
She's got plenty of that.
any additional comments? So I would make a motion. I would.
Did you have an additional comment?
I had just one thing.
Yeah.
As far as maintenance, what you guys determine, or you're viewing, they can't do maintenance on their trucks. And all of that, I assume that's going to be in the
so they can do like oil changes and minor maintenance, but no major mechanical work. We ask them to take that outside the property.
Yeah, I think tire change and that, so they're not out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can we state language in there, like you know, as somebody who's worked on cars and trucks most of my life, put a timeline on any mechanical work being done. Meaning, if it can't be completed in a one-day span, it needs to be.
That's a lot of micromanaging.
I don't know. I don't know if that's.
Well, and I think as long as they're doing it between the hours of six, mm-hmm. that.
And it's not anything that's not major.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I would entertain a motion for conditional use permit with the added language of parking and seasonal. Mm-hmm.
I motion to approve CUP-N-385-25 with conditions as stated for parking and seasonal use.
Okay. Motion's been made. Do I have a second?
Seconded.
Second. Any additional discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Same sign. Motion carries. Thank you.
I do have a presentation. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. It's a perfect map. Nice and square.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I was like, who
wrote
that?
I know, it looked like Conrad.
This is going to be a growing
problem.
Conrad wrote
the home-based trucking operation.
I feel like if we don't address it across the county, they're just going to move their trucks to different properties.
I agree. I think my concern is thank you. My concern is that if we don't. There has to be some facilitation of it. So it's really the facilitation of it that purchase or lease commercial property to operate the business out of.
That's the goal.
Okay.
That's why they're given, you know, up to 3 years to find that.
Is the county doing anything to incentivize that?
We had a meet. Actually, that's a good discussion to have.
I feel like that would be something that would be really good to bring to the Board of Commissioners.
Oh, they're well aware, and we present it to them.
And it's a port issue because these trucks are all supporting the port. It seems like the port has an obligation to be part of the solution.
I've tried to connect landowners with some of the big farms because there is a permit path forward. There's a bunch of options. So they could park those ag trucks on a farm. If a farmer wanted to lease out a space and those trucks are servicing
that farm and others,
there's a permit path forward. These people want this property. They bought it so that they can live there and have their vehicles. It's just not the model we envisioned ever when that residential zoning was put in place. And it's evolved over time. So we haven't ignored it. I even suggested at one point maybe the county purchase property and lease it. That would put us in both the entrepreneur and the code and compliance. But It's an opportunity, literally.
We
have two examples in Umatilla County, because when I was in Umatilla County, we did something like this. There's one on Kick and Pumpkin Center, and you'll see it's a nice row. There's got to be right now 50 farm trucks parked there. Yeah. They'll go out during the harvest
season.
Park
their RVs and their boats and lots.
Those things, yeah. And this is no different than renting a space for an RV.
Well, doesn't the county have plenty of property?
Well, that's what needs to be done, a secure, clean.
And there's also one over on Klaus Lane where people built a fence, razor wire, security gate. But people like the model where they have. But if you're a neighbor, these folks are really nice.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to make sure.
They've been here before, haven't they?
I know.
The name's not, we did a partition or something for them. Oh, I know who rents property from them. That's how we know the name. The next 6 months or a year, we're probably going to have to dip our toes into that. And this sounds really cold.
It's been a year.
It'll be a year in May.
There's a maximum first permit. Of 3 years there. Yeah. And
now we're down to 2 years.
If they haven't had any violations.
But they're like today, they're on the clock.
They're on the clock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that we started a year ago doing this.
So there's people that are done in
2 years.
Two years. Mm-hmm.
We just have one exception.
Yep.
Cute little old man.
Yeah.
So the county, we all know, has land all out throughout the county, so I think maybe people should try to get
Boardman's
the people
got 85 or 200 acres to know about, too. Right?
Space
now,
age.
I have suggested that. I really have suggested that.
What a great stuff. Got my loves on the way to Three
because,
Mile Farms.
Because, you know, and the thing, too, yeah, because they, they're the ones that are the biggest proponent for the ones that I but, you know, if you looked at the county, maybe someone needs to help try to educate these truck owners,
the operators,
how to maybe find investors or group together to buy some land.
Well, they have been because the one lady that we've tried to hire, I don't know her
Margarita?
Name.
Yeah, was Margarita. Yeah.
How'd I get your phone?
Maybe we're kind of kicking the can down the road, but when these things do start to sunset, it's like, okay,
then we'll be the bad guys.
Maybe somebody is going to step forward at that point in time because
we already are the bad guys, and it hasn't been easy. We've actually been at, we rolled this out very slowly starting two years ago. And then about a year ago, we finally said, we're really serious about it. And Caitlin started sending out warning letters. They came in and they signed an abatement order. Daisy helped us put together an abatement order that says, yeah, I know I'm in violation and I'm going to check in every 3 months, making progress. And a handful of those, Caitlin will show you in her report tonight, have actually come for these temporary permits. It's not an ideal fix, but you all, the Planning Commission said, we don't want to run these people out of business today. Let's give them a little grace period. And that's all this really is. Mm-hmm. It's difficult. It is, I think there's a business opportunity for somebody, but.
None of us.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, we're letting them keep them there for a certain amount of time. So they're not going to go pay rent somewhere else. Some of them. But ultimately they might have to.
So actually I like your idea a lot. Commissioner Peterson, we might end up having done it in the past, but not since we've had these temporary fixes, where we had a meeting and gave, you know, listened to everybody's resources, and we gave them an out, so probably again within the next year we say, you know, have a meeting with all these people of these use permits to say you can all work together. One thing we heard, Kate and Michaela hears it better than the rest of us, they don't necessarily want to work together.
They don't.
You know what the bottom line is? In 2 years, some of them will be out of business if they don't find a place to go.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to swallow.
Well, they don't want to their trucks together because batteries are missing.
Go missing.
Diesel's been taken out, or so. Just it's just that's
cameras.
The conflict. Yeah.
I have that happen all the time. I don't have anybody else's truck.
Secure and cameras, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's like I said, it's so different in RVs and boats and those secure lots.
Yeah, you can separate every lot that somebody is using.
That's what I thought.
Fences.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but bottom line is,
it is, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's hard, but it's either that or you move and find someplace else. Or if you can't do that, that's devastating to lose their business.
And to your point, Commissioner Kilkenny, I did talk with the port a couple of times. And they don't want to rent out, they don't want to be responsible for multiple leases, but they would agree to like sell a whole piece of property or have a master lease, and somebody else can pay for the master lease and charge other people that come in. And I can see where that makes sense. They don't want to be responsible for 20 different trucking operations.
It's a business for somebody.
It is a business for somebody. Yeah, it's an opportunity.
They're also going to require those trucks to be insured all year long, and I can guarantee you those trucks are not insured all year long.
About that. Yeah.
If they're being stored.
I just hope so. Yeah. But, I mean, they didn't. And that's one of the reasons, too, because I think if you put them in a storage, you have to show that they're insured.
Just for fire or for full comprehensive?
No, liability. No, you wouldn't have to. The fire and theft part would be up to you, but they want liability in case something happens.
That makes sense. Okay. Are we screen sharing for people online?
I think we closed them.
Did everybody leave?
Trip's on there.
Oh, can you see the screen, Trip?
No, nobody's doing it. Yes, screen sharing.
How did it get expanded to the full thing? Whoops. I don't know how. There we go.
I have the remote.
Oh, I was like, how the heck did that
You have the remote.
You guys are going to get so tired of hearing me tonight.
Still on screen share. I'm on audio right there.
No, I'm just. Oh, you just took it away. Hold on. Share. Now I got to find your file. All I know is John's head is exactly where I need to be. Okay. Thank you, John. Okay. That should be. Can you see it now, Trip?
Steven to the rescue.
No? Wait, okay. Hold on. I got this. I totally got this. It says screen share.
So his share?
Share.
I mean the code overview. Sure.
I just did that.
Okay.
There. There's still a lot of them.
Now hit the.
And you can
now
see
it now. Now it says
there. There we go. Okay. I got it. Now.
Got it. Okay. Kay. You can take it over with the remote. Got it.
I got you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Maybe. Hold on, Trip. Hang in there, buddy.
And Jim.
While you're working on that, kudos on the drone footage. That was pretty cool. That was helpful.
Yeah, man. No problem. Sorry.
You're
sorry. I'm going to meet it. I'm sorry. Next time I go out, if you're in the area, I'll join.
He needs somebody to watch for planes.
That was very helpful.
I bought my husband one, and now he's buying a spray one.
Oh. That sounds expensive.
My husband has a drone, and he has so much.
Is that working?
Luckily, the spray guy's getting a new one.
You might be too far away. It's over here. Point it that way.
With my head.
You might have to stand up.
Maybe my head's better this time.
I don't think so. It was working just fine.
Do you want me to do this for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
There.
We'll move this down a little bit. There. Okay.
Okay. So here's a very general overview of code compliance in Morrow County right now. Put on by myself. Caitlin Kennedy, the compliance planner. So here is our webpage here. You can go to the Morrow County page under code enforcement, where the nice yellow arrow is. The first one goes to the complaint form, which is where we encourage people to fill out their code complaint, what the complaint is, what the violation is, where it's at, if they want contact from us, and then it we'll scramble it up into something readable and then send it to Tamara and myself, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And then beneath that lovely picture, you can click on links for the code enforcement ordinances, zoning ordinances, subdivision ordinances, and solid waste ordinances if they have questions or they want to do a little bit of research.
How many do you get online forms, or do you mostly get people who just call and complain?
Just get mostly people that call and complain or come in and you know. I just hand him a paper one to fill out, which works, and, you know, we do it with the protection for property values, life and safety issues, protecting natural resources, and, you know, trying to enhance the livability of the county. And, you know, this can be done through a voluntary process where, you know, the property owners want to work with you or responsible parties want to work with you, or it can be done through a citation process, you know, where they don't. Here is a little diagram of the process itself. You know, we receive a complaint, we do a site visit, we decide if the complaint is valid or invalid, and we take steps from there. So typically, we'll send out a letter or a violation notice asking for contact within 30 days. You know, if they fail to reach out to us in 30 days, we send them a second letter. They fail to do that, but we have sent it certified, so we know that they got it. We can proceed forward at the discretion of whether or not to issue a citation.
Do you, I mean, we tried that, and about half wouldn't take the certified. Don't know if they took, we assume they took the regular because we never got it back, but yeah. Do you have it, is it in our code that even if you don't sign the certified, it's still considered?
So it's at the discretion within the planning department on how to proceed, but we've also, you know, been in touch and gotten counsel from Justin Nelson on, you know, what counts as service. So when they are returned, and turns out it's okay to post on their gate, and you know, you can send it on, you know, regular postage. You can send it certified. If that gets returned, you can post it on their property and consider that served, because that is something that we're dealing with. But I go so far as to color code it. You know, red gets your attention, and that'll be the official or the initial contact for a violation warning or violation notice requesting contact within 30 days. You know, if for some reason they need more time, then we have an abatement order, a corrective action plan, which is in blue. And that just says, hey, you have so many days to fix it. You know, and you acknowledge that you're in violation of these. If you need additional time, come talk to me. We'll work something out. But in the meantime, if you just let it expire, you don't fix the problem, you continue to, you know, ignore contact with the planning department or the compliance planner, then I have your signature. I'm going to issue a citation. You've already acknowledged it. And then the completeness review or completeness letter, which just says, thank you. This is no longer an issue. It's been resolved. We'll close it out.
That's a newer feature. I think it's super smart. It's a
courtesy. It makes people feel like
they were recognized.
Yeah,
recognized. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That they don't have to worry about it, that it's done.
Yeah.
You know? And then this is the non-compliance. Starts with the violation notice, goes with the second letter, explaining, you know, a little bit more in depth the violations that we're trying to address with them. And then it goes to a citation at our discretion, which we work with IJC, and they'll give us a court date for them. And then we'll go before the judge and kind of present our case. And usually they want to work with us at that point.
Yeah. Isn't she good? I do have to put a plug in. Our justice court was previously a county deputy and also did code enforcement in another county. He knows the system pretty well. So it's really, really helpful, I think.
Yes, he is very helpful. Yes, and he's very fair. Like, if they're, every situation is different. If they have you know, medical limitations. Mm-hmm. You know, like they had a surgery. They've been out for 6 weeks. They haven't been able to do anything. You know, but they didn't want to talk to me. Then he's like, well, if you wanna work with us, then we'll give you 30 more days to fix the issue or come up with a reasonable resolution. Mm-hmm. So these are three county codes that we frequently see violations in. I've provided lovely pictures. And these are all pictures from Morrow County.
It's absurd.
So the first one is nuisance vehicle storage.
It's not nuisance,
you know, so it's either not currently licensed or registered for operation. It's being used to store junk, solid waste, or waste. It has parts that's been discarded, dismantled, partially dismantled, stripped, rusted, damaged, wrecked, or just sitting there as lawn art. You know, and I get that some of these have an emotional component. Like, they're collectors. They're collecting vintage cars, but they're letting them sit out on the property and rust and decrease in value. And maybe it's something that they had a lot of emotional attachment to. But one thing I try to ask them is, well, how are you preserving its value? Like, you're not. So that is kind of one of our
new things.
Yeah, new things, but solutions, something that we offer if they're interested in. If it has a clean title, Good Shepherd has a vehicle donation program, and it's for, you know, cars, trucks, RVs, boats. As long as it has a clean title, they will go through a third party to pick it up, scrap it, and then they take that money towards a scholarship program for medical students, which is really nice. A lot of them still aren't overly interested in donating, but you know, for those that do, they get a tax break. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 5.200, general nuisances. So this is a really lengthy, it's not really lengthy, but it's like a good 2 pages of fine print in our code that lists waste and garbage accumulation, yard debris, unlawful posting of placards, an assortment of things. But what we're really dealing with is the waste and garbage accumulation. You know, for like this picture, for example.
And that's real.
What's
recent.
Wrong with that picture?
Yeah.
Find two of the same things.
That's true. See? That's funny.
Coming.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Same house.
It's no, different houses. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, these are none of the same properties. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And one of the ways that we've come up, I've worked with Public Works, and we have a free transfer station voucher right now that we're offering to those that live outside city limits. You know, it's good for one load to the dump, which you might need a few for situations like these, but it's something that we are offering to kind of help it and get the ball rolling.
If the financial hardship was the only barrier, we'd probably find a way to give you multiple vouchers.
Yes.
But typically it's an emotional.
Where's mm-hmm. the one down? Is there one here? Where's the one in this area? Like
the transfer station's right on Bombing Range Road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the intersection, well, not quite, but it's very close to the intersection of 730 and Bombing Range.
It's like front edge, isn't it?
Why
do I
not even pay attention?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because if you're heading north and you turn too soon, you'll go into the transfer station. Mm-hmm. If you wait about 100 yards, then you'll hit the freeway eastbound. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never been
it's hard there. To see in the dark, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. I was just curious.
They have a little A-frame house by the scale.
Yeah.
And last year, the county did a hazardous waste. Mm-hmm. And they do that every five years or so.
Well, they're actually doing it again this year.
Oh, good.
It'll be in May, at the end of May. Oh, nice. They'll do another hazardous waste event.
Hey, Lynn. Mm-hmm. Does your jurisdiction encompass the city limits, or is it just county?
It's just county.
Okay. I thought so. I was just checking.
Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, Boardman has their own city code enforcement. Aragon has their own city code enforcement. But unfortunately, city enforcement comes from the sheriff's office for, like, Ione and Hebner. And
except
like
we don't have a contract.
Except no. You don't have a contract.
Yeah. It's really tough when you...
Which we're still part of their service area, so I don't understand. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the sheriff, have you had problems with like confrontation with the owners when you go out there, or people accusing you of trespassing, or?
Thankfully, I do most of my enforcement just from the right of way and the roadway. I'll stop and I take pictures, and then I do the violation notices, so I don't see them or make contact with them on their property. I have had, you know, not so compliant or real graceful people address those violations. Usually by phone or in person at planning commission.
You know. It's okay, you can say it. Gentlemen,
they're just not very happy.
Yes, you. Yes.
And Caitlin always has the option of asking for a deputy escort.
Right.
Or posting it on the fence. That was the latest one. I don't know why we haven't done that before, but that was pretty smart, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody's living room outside.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They're living in there?
There's a few people living out there.
Yeah.
Okay, but that one is...
Hard times, bud.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Morrow County zoning ordinance for temporary uses. The biggest thing we're seeing is people living in RVs. So, you know, what we're looking for are the slide outs out, are the couches out, you know, are are there electrical and sewer hookups?
Those couches dry out half the year.
Dog finish.
Yes. And our code does specifically state that recreational vehicles shall not be used for housing or residential purposes. So there are caveats to that. You know, for those who are building a house, they can get a temporary zoning permit. Yeah.
So is that different than the state?
Different than the state.
So we probably will have some changes depending on where the legislature goes, because there's this trend just to get people in a shelter to recognize RVs as permanent. And I think I understand both sides of that, but there's long-term safety, structural integrity. If you go out to an RV park out of here, it fills a busload. Like, there's families living in RVs year-round, and it's where they can afford to live. It's better than being out in the open. And several years ago, Oregon passed a law. Used to be RV parks could say you can only be here 6 months out of the year, can no longer limit it. So a lot of RV parks become permanent housing for people.
I've been researching that heavily lately.
And if there's a lot of people, that's all they can afford.
And Ion does have an RV park, though.
Two.
Can we use language to state the overall condition of the RVs? Do we know if that would be a caveat? I'm just looking from about protecting the county's interests and the citizenry, like saying, hey, you know, if you have an RV that looks like this, I don't know how you would quantify that with the definition.
That's not structurally.
Yeah.
The other thing is, how do you get rid of it? Mm-hmm. Without, nobody wants it.
Set it on fire.
It is. There's no solution to that either. I mean, that's why Caitlin, we've talked some. She belongs to a county or a statewide code enforcement group. It's a problem statewide.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
nobody wants
if they're untitled.
One.
I mean, mm-hmm. You can't give them away. You can't haul them to the dump.
No,
they sit there.
The landfills don't want them because of the asbestos, mm-hmm. especially in the older ones. And that testing costs money.
Very many with asbestos in mobile homes, maybe.
Oh yeah, they won't take them either because it acts the way the axles and all kinds of different things are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a.
See, and I feel like it's a bigger problem, right? It's not just one part, but to your point.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
But you would have to dismantle that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's burdensome.
Well, I do know one that was dismounted in one of the parks.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And they called it off.
Sometimes they melt when the house on fire.
Sometimes they do.
Sometimes a couple of them melt.
Only the thin aluminum.
The other thing we offer is a hardship variance. So if they need close at-home care, or a family member does, then we can provide a permit that allows someone to live on the property, either in a manufactured home or in a ADU or in a RV.
I thought Morrow County didn't allow ADUs.
We don't, but if it's a hardship variance, mm-hmm. It's temporary.
So if your hardship, how do you reinforce, that. Okay, you have to, the hardship's over, mm-hmm. You have to remove that manufactured home. How mm-hmm. do you enforce that?
Annual review. Mm-hmm. I mean, either every year, or the new code we just adopted says you have to renew that every 2 years, so they mm-hmm. don't have to get dinged $150 each year, but they have to document it. Oh yeah, I'm still, you know, need to have a medical person. And it works really well for some people who don't want to go through the expense of moving in a permanent mobile home, retrofitting a septic system.
Mm-hmm. So, but it's even if you live in a temporary manufactured home, it's hardship, it has to be moved out.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to say, even if say there's an existing manufactured home. If I remember right, the county ordinance says, say you have enough room to build a stick-built home, you still have to get rid of the manufactured home in, what is it, 30 days?
30 days.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a bit tight, but, I mean, I'm sure the county's probably willing to give some variance a little, as long as, efforts being made.
I'll see what our new partnership thinks of.
90
days. No.
I don't
know.
Maybe. We'd like to build a shop.
It's going to be a minute before we update the code again. Did you have more slides, Caitlin?
That one's the last.
But I don't know. Definitely a drop for sure.
And then just a couple statistics. So I haven't been here a full year yet. So I just did the last 6 months. You know, we've been able to close about 33 complaints resolved, where we have 13 open corrective action plans and issued 6 citations. And for some of those citations, it's going to court multiple times.
Mm-hmm. How's our tow truck guy doing?
Which one?
The one on Coonsie.
It had all the stuff, yeah.
That was trying to
I drove by there. Yeah, I don't think.
Yeah.
His son was going to set up shop. He's mm-hmm. still there.
Yep, he's still there. It's a nice big file that I'm digging through.
He must be coming up on a year, too, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. I think
that was
so.
Like the first one, it seems like.
Because his was it brought before commission to be revoked?
His was this, yes, yeah, his and was, then they renewed it.
Because he had a plan, a supposed plan.
Supposed plan.
He was trying to be honest on that.
The water spreading issue, did that not get appealed to the county?
Oh, is this your last slide?
Yeah, this is my last
slide.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that. It's
isn't
not
that nice?
Yeah. It's nice to see.
She's
so
organized.
She puts a nice spin on it.
Doesn't she? I know. Very much so, yeah.
Good job, Caitlin. That was very helpful.
Yeah. She kind of keeps us on our toes. So, the Port of Morrow land application of wastewater, the port appealed this, the county's decision, the just one condition, and the Board of Commissioners changed that condition. So instead of did we have a 150-foot buffer? They took it down to like 20-foot buffer.
Wow.
And then the deadline to appeal that was this week?
Was this wastewater application? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. And the deadline for them to appeal it to LUBA was either yesterday or today, and they just figured that they would save their money.
Save their money for that's too bad.
Yeah. Chair, if it's okay, I just wanted to, I'm looking at, so it's now 90 days.
To To remove it?
To remove it.
Okay. I'm just curious. Yeah, it was one of those. Yeah. That's actually reasonable.
I think so, too. We did some good things with the code update, and there's more, but it's going to be a while before we do. And next time it's going to be in small pieces, because that was a killer. So, with Daisy's help. I just wanted to point out one... So we included January and February. I call them newsletter, but it's the update. So I go in front of the board once a month. Most departments go once a quarter, except for myself and Public Works, I think. But I just wanted to point out in the February update, Clint, who's not here, Caitlin keeps a database of, we keep track of our permits. It's a new spreadsheet. Several people worked on it. Daisy, Clint, Stephen worked on it. We go over it every Tuesday at our staff meeting. There's a nice long list of completed, completed, completed. But we've got projects that have been dangling out there for a long time, and I don't know how things we kept track of them previously. Anyway, it's good. But I, for purposes of the budget, I asked Clint to put together. Caitlin keeps the database, and this table on page 121 of your packet, we had a really big year last year in 2024, so we almost doubled from the previous year. And it'll sound like I'm whining, and maybe I am a little bit, but we've survived. We had a 50% turnover in that same year.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So a staff of three, we got three new people, and we doubled our permit load.
Wow.
Or we increased it by 50%. Mm-hmm. So, and we also did some big things, like a really major code update. I wouldn't have done it if Daisy hadn't, you know, been here, because it was, I wouldn't, there's just not enough hours in a week to do that. So, yay team.
Thank you. No, that's great.
Yeah. Also, not sure what page it is, but Clint is here, because we have so many other projects that are going on, like long-range planning projects, which really is probably why you wanted to be on the Planning Commission. We've been working on this Columbia River Heritage Trail plan. Clint's really the project manager, keeps us online, is a direct liaison for the consultant. If you have time, there's a QR code here. You can take the survey. And the Heritage Trail is a plan. We'll present it to you when this is done, and then it'll go to the board. We probably won't amend it as a formal comprehensive plan amendment, but so you can review and give some input. That's why I grew up to be a planner, this kind of stuff, like really cool projects.
Do you have any interns helping you like before?
We do right now. We have Alina. She's in her second year, and we're going to find out tomorrow what her summer schedule looks like. Last year we had Karen, and she comes back. She hasn't been. Did she come this Christmas break to visit us?
No, I think she did like after school though.
She's done
some great stuff. She's at OSU, and the person before is at Eastern Oregon University. And Alina's been 2 years, and I try to give them something they can put their stamp on, like a project, like help with this. And they have done that. It's been a little bit harder with Alina because she's really interested in public health, but she helped with like some of the outreach events for the nitrate project we're working on. And some of these attachments, like the January update, has this Q&A page about what this drinking water roadmap project is. And that's kind of the highlights of that stuff. And then Caitlin is really the... We're calling him a project manager because we have an agreement with ODOT to do an interchange area management plan at Tower Road. Super busy intersection, a lot going on. We don't have to pay out-of-pocket county money, but there's a consultant, so Caitlin's keeping that going and on task, and then I get to just pop in, and Jim will help with that as well, more of the planning work on it. And then we also, probably starting this summer, we're going to update our entire transportation system plan. So that's this. I brought this in case I needed to reference it when we were going over the boardmen. But some of those standards in The subdivision ordinance that were referenced and those Boardman findings are also referenced here. So this is kind of the big picture of what your roads are, rail, bike, air facilities, and then what the standards are. It also includes a list of capital projects that the county will want to have either through county funding or other funding. So we work really closely with Public Works on that. And we'll start